Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome, you're listening to Sports Ecom 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my two co-hosts, Russell Jackman and Mike McDowd. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a trivia question. Today's trivia theme, miscellaneous trivia. Also want to welcome to our latest additional station, AM 1550, SLC Sports Radio in Salt Lake City and throughout the Salt Lake Valley, with a special thanks to Program Director Dino Costa. Today, we are going to have a special guest coming on in the second segment. Mike, you want to kind of tease us as to who that is?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is about as an authentic of a show as it gets. My next guest is a gentleman by the name of Peter Goppelrud, and I hope I didn't screw up his name. He can correct me if I did or did not. But Peter is a guy who literally, folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I met about, what, 20 minutes ago, and turns out we were taking our dogs to doggy daycare, and he was wearing a Kansas hat, University of Kansas Jayhawks, and a conversation ensued, and it turns out that Peter not only likes sports, knows sports, but is an expert in the field of sports and law. He's a sports law professor and attorney. And he is going to be able to really kind of fill us in about the landscape of college sports. I got to tell you, Edward, the future of college sports doesn't look really good. I mean, I'm worried about it. For the big boys, it looks fine. For the little boys and girls, not so good. So we're going to talk to Peter. So gracious that he is joining us last minute by the seat of his pants.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is our other co-host, Russell Jackman, also just happens to be an attorney and just happens to know and love sports. So this will be kind of fun having us all talk together. Tell you what, we're going to go to our first.
This guy's on intruding on my turf. What are you kidding?
All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Russell Jackman, Michael McDowell. And Michael, can you please introduce our guest?
Absolutely. A guy that I've known for just, so long, the great Peter Gopperud. And again, Peter, if I messed up your last name, please correct me. But when I say great, Peter and I have known each other for a total of 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. And we ran into each other this morning. And Peter is involved in the world of sports. He specializes in sports law as a law professor currently with Florida A&M University, home of the mighty Rattlers. I believe in Orlando, Peter told me. And he's, of course, an attorney, has worked with around NCAA cases, and just is well-schooled in the world of college sports, particularly with the whole NIL issues that are taking place, name, image, and likeness. I was going to come up with another name, not in my lifetime. But anyways, Peter, listen, thank you so much for literally joining us last minute. It's a thrill to have you. And I know you grew up, I believe you grew up in Iowa. So I'm guessing you're either a Cubs fan or a Cardinals fan. And you went to the University of Kansas. So I know you're a Jayhawk, but thrilled to have you aboard. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Michael. And as you suggested, when we ran into each other and started talking about this, it's kind of divine intervention, fate, good timing, all of that.
Now, the important question, are you a Cardinals fan or a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan?
I grew up listening to both the Cubs and the Cardinals on radio because both teams had pretty powerful radio stations. Actually, very first game I went to was a Cubs Braves game in Milwaukee as a kid, and then my both sets of grandparents lived in extreme northern Iowa, right on the Minnesota border. And so when the Minnesota Twins became an organization, one of my grandmothers was totally hooked on them, so I went to a number of games there. But ultimately, became a Cardinals fan because my spouse is from St. Louis, and I also pay attention to the Rays a little bit because my oldest daughter worked for them for a few years ago, her first year out of college.
Nice.
Peter, how long have you been a law professor, basically a sports law professor?
Well, I've been a law professor for, let's say, lots of decades. Kind of fell into the sports law thing early in my career at Southern Illinois University, which at that time was one of about five schools that even offered a course in sports law. Hmm. And the guy who was teaching it left the year after I got there, and I went to the dean and said, "Hey, can I teach this?" And he said, "Sure." only there were no textbooks, no nothing. I had a very good friend who was one of the few other people in the country teaching that, and so he gave me some materials to use, and I got started with it. And ultimately, he and I and a law professor who was then at Gonzaga Law School published the first sports law textbook in 1990. That book is now in its 10th edition, and we also have a version that is used by sports management graduate and undergraduate programs.
Wow. The law has changed like so much, especially, I mean, with this law,
that's
it's crazy.
Oh, it's very crazy. Makes for some interesting things in the classroom, because it's never dull, and has produced some interesting opportunities outside of the classroom as well. But particularly the last, since July of 2021, when the NCAA, in response to state legislatures passing laws allowing athletes to do what every other college student could do then, and that is make money off of their name, image, and likeness, things have been, shall we say, interesting.
Ed O'Bannon to come and give a little speech.
Yeah, I mean, Ed and then Sonny Vaccaro, who was kind of helping him and encouraging him through all of that litigation, I think are heavily responsible for where we are now. The NCAA is also heavily responsible for where we are now, because they have continued to violate the antitrust laws and haven't apparently yet learned, as we're waiting for the settlement in the House litigation to be approved by the judge, and looking forward to a lot of uncertainty going forward in the next few years.
Oh. Well, hey, Russ, you're the other attorney on the panel here. You have any questions for Peter or comments?
What would be one of the bigger questions that your students have of you when they ask you about the law and sports?
Well, it kind of depends upon, what course it is, because I do a number of different courses. This past year, I did a seminar on collegiate issues, which literally we kind of changed directions during the course of the semester because of things that were happening. Most students, when they first come into the course, I usually ask them, why are you taking this course? Because it's not a required course, obviously, and what's your background? And over the years, I would say more than 75%, maybe 90% of them say that they want to be agents.
Yeah.
And I quickly try to disabuse them of that desire and explain to them that I was an agent for a while. Hmm. And got out of it because I wanted to, be in kind of a different world, rather than what quite frequently happens, I think, in the agent world, is you are you're a concierge director, you're a babysitter, the contract work that I've done since then has been more focused on coaching contracts than athlete contracts. But the other thing is that they don't, Russ, I don't think they don't fully realize when they walk into the sports law class all the things that are involved in law and sports. And sports law, is not really a special area of the law. It's just you're involved in the in a business that has, you know, regardless of whether you're looking at the collegiate level, the Olympic level, or the professional level, it's business. And so the lawyers involved in that with those types of clients or in-house with teams or conferences have to be skilled in a variety of different things, from contract law to labor law to employment law.
You know, it just amazes me with these contracts. It's, you know, the guy has a good year and suddenly he says, you know what? I want to renegotiate my contract. That's like, but the employer doesn't seem to be able to do that if the player has a bad year, you know? All right, we're going to cut the first commercial break here. And again, we're talking just miscellaneous trivia here. And these questions were all over the map. And Peter, as a reminder, if you know the answer, don't answer quite yet. We'll let you answer when we come right back from break. Our first trivia question: what American food chain is famous for its curly fries? All right, that's our trivia question. I know it's kind of a different one. Don't make me hungry yet, you know. What American food is famous for its curly fries? All right, stay with us. You are listening to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowd, and our special guest, Peter Goplerud. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Again, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowd, Russell Jackman, our special guest, Peter Goppelberg. And our first trivia question, what American food chain is famous for its curly fries? Peter, do you know the answer to that?
Is that Arby's?
Yes.
Oh, Arby's. Good one.
It's lunchtime here in Florida.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm starved.
I need that too, but I wanted the guest to have a shot at it.
Thank you, Russ.
We appreciate that. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to thank Peter for joining us on the show. And one of the, you know, like I said, divine intervention took place this morning. I'm trying to call a couple of people that I know to be one of our great guests. And Peter, we have some of the most interesting guests on this show. We've interviewed Patrick Jung last week, the big star from the University of Florida, who was injured in a terrible car accident, is an inspiration to this country. Greg Coleman, the first NFL punter. We interviewed the guy, a friend of mine, who ran Top Gun, Edward. And so we have all sorts of fascinating guys. We go coast to coast, border to border, and around the world with our U.S. military. And lo and behold, you and I meet. I mean, it's miraculous. And with that said, you tell me you know about about sports law. You are really well schooled in the world of college sports, and really the landscape of college sports, for better or worse, is about ready to change. I'm very worried about it. It appears that the big boys, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Big Four, are going to be the power players. And the rest of the college sports, the Sacramento States, the Gonzagas, San Diego States, to heck with them. I mean, is that a fair statement, what I just said?
I think it's a very fair statement, Michael. And indeed, late last week, the NCAA circulated to the so-called lower 22 conferences, those conferences outside the Power Four and the Group of Five, a proposed new governance structure that would give the Power Four 65% membership on committees. And the Big Sky Conference Commissioner and the West Coast Conference Commissioner have already come out very strongly against this, saying it essentially looks like a power grab by the Power Four, not surprising because they've been working towards this. There are those folks out there who think that eventually it's going to be the Power Two with the Big Ten and the SEC controlling everything. Although I think that the other two conferences will have something to say about that. But we're going to see continued restructuring, realignment with conferences at some point, although that is typically dependent upon the timing of the expiration of TV contracts.
Let me ask you, Peter, is this the sort of thing Congress gets involved with for antitrust?
Well, the NCAA would like to have an antitrust exemption, at least a limited one. They've been lobbying for that for a number of years, there's been a lot of lobbying effort with regard to the NIL laws that are not uniform across the country, lobbying for some special language that would prevent athletes from being designated as employees. So the NCAA, particularly the last couple of years, has spent a significant amount of money on Capitol Hill lobbying. There have been probably 15 different congressional hearings And currently, we also have the president weighing in, talking about creating a commission on collegiate sports that apparently is going to be co-chaired by Nick Saban and Cody Campbell, who's the chair of the Texas Tech Board of Trustees and a former football player himself.
Well, you know what's interesting is if you look at like how the IRS views the definition of employee versus independent contractor, I mean, these guys fit right into the employee category. You know, they can't work with anybody else. You know, they have one team they work for. They're designated, you know, you've got to come in at this time. You got to, you know, I mean, it's just textbook.
Well, there's a case right now pending in federal court in Pennsylvania that is directly focused on the question of whether athletes are employees under the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act, which is the law that requires people in certain segments of business to pay minimum wage. And there's a preliminary ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals for that area, the Third Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, that would seem to indicate that they will find, or they will affirm, if the trial judge finds that the athlete, that certain athletes, not all, but certain college athletes, most likely football, maybe men's and women's basketball, are employees as that's defined under the federal law.
Yeah, then they'd have also workers' comp to do the Social Security match, you know, and if it's a money thing, they could always subtract it from any scholarship they're receiving if they want to play games.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But there are a lot of folks out there who think that an efficient way to deal with some of the issues that are out there right now with regard to athletes' compensation, athletes, you know, the transfer portal, all the things that are causing, you know, upheaval and chaos in collegiate sports could be taken care of if there was collective bargaining like we have in professional sports. Now, at the moment, in order to have collective bargaining, you have to have employees. But it's conceivable that the one place where Congress might be able to help out a little bit, and I'm very reticent about Congress jumping in on this at all. But if they did, they could theoretically amend the federal labor laws to allow for collective bargaining in collegiate sports without the athletes being designated as employees. And then give the same limited antitrust exemption that exists in professional sports for things that are part of the collective bargaining process. So that would allow you then to get into, you know, have the athletes have a seat at the table, which they've never had, and to be able to get some agreement on compensation, on, you know, terms of work, on health benefits, and those sorts of things, even roster sizes.
Hey, Peter, one quick key question in the nuts and bolts of things, but when you talk about compensation, equal distribution across the board, there is not going to be fairness. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about, let's take the University of California, for example, or the University of Kansas, where you went to school. So your football players and your basketball players are going to demand the high bucks, the high salary. The field hockey players, the water polo players, the swimmers, even the soccer players, they will not be getting equal pay by any stretch of the imagination. So the question is, how are they going to be able to have an inner working of some sort of so-called equal distribution? Because let's face it, young kids are going to get upset. They're going to go on strike. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, even now, the men support the women's in I don't know if it's all categories, but it's in some of them. But go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, the football and men's basketball are the revenue sources for virtually everything in collegiate athletics. Yeah, there are certain schools that produce a good amount of revenue from their baseball team. Some schools have pretty good revenue streams from their women's basketball and their softball teams. You'll have some of the big time hockey schools, you know, have a good amount of revenue there. But for the most part, it's football, and it's football more so than basketball. Although the basketball money is what funds the NCAA, because the NCAA does not control television with regard to football. There's not going to be equal distribution. There's not any real basis for legal basis anyway for complaints by the athletes in the minor sports. What they could have complained about is if they were prevented from making money from their name, image, and likeness. They're still very free to go out and do deals with the local local car dealer, local restaurant, if they can get those sorts of deals. But in the money that the schools are likely to be able to pay directly to the athletes from the as a result of house settlement, that's going to go primarily to football and men's basketball.
Yeah, so it should be. Okay, you guys ready for our second trivia question here? Which U.S. president was 6 feet 4 inches tall? You got to think about this one for a minute. Which U.S. president was 6 feet 4 inches tall? All right, that's our trivia question. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance, with state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is, so you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
For over 30 years, SF Bay Adventures has been the premier boating event and tour resource for the San Francisco Bay. Their flagship schooner, Free to Be, is an 80-foot sailboat modeled after traditional tall ships, offering the romance of yesteryear with modern amenities. Groups of up to 49 can rent schooner Free to Be for private events such as birthdays, weddings, memorials, and team building. Smaller groups or individuals can also buy tickets to public tours, such as Sunday morning wildlife sales under the Golden Gate Bridge. Visit sfbayadventures.com or email info@sfbayadventures.com to book your adventure.
Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa provides guests with an all lakefront hotel in South Lake Tahoe, where every lodge room and condominium has a view of the lake and mountains. Hotel rooms offer lodge pine furnishings, gas fireplace, and a full lake view. Condominiums offer private bedroom, full kitchen, and living area with a fireplace. Guests can relax or play on over 500 feet of private beach and enjoy a dip in the outdoor heated pool and hot tub that are also lakeside. Elements Day Spa, located inside the hotel, offers individual and couples packages with treatments inspired by Tahoe's nature. The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa, located close to all South Lake Tahoe summer and winter activities. Perfect for individual and group getaways to the lake and mountains. No added resort fees here. Call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com.
Just minutes from LAX, the Lum Hotel offers travelers a comfortable and convenient stay in an exciting neighborhood. Its prime location provides easy access to major attractions such as SoFi Stadium, Hollywood Park, and the future home of the LA Clippers. You'll enjoy a fitness center, resort-style pool, and rooftop bar. The perfect spot for dining after a game, enjoying craft cocktails before a concert, or just having a casual dinner. The Lum Hotel just recently opened, so book your reservations now at lumhotel.com. That's lumhotel.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowell, our special guest, Peter Koppelberg. All right, trivia question number two. Which U.S. president was 6 feet 4 inches tall? Anyone?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. That is correct.
I was going to. I that's what I was going with, too. Okay, and you said it was. How tall is Trump? He's pretty tall.
He says he's 6'4". But he also says he also says he weighs 220.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a little more than that. Okay,
I think he's about 6'5" with the hair.
Yeah, with the hair, exactly. Okay, just really quickly, a little silly joke of the week. What do you say when you have your favorite smoke shop turns into a J. Crew? Clothes, but no cigar. Okay.
Bad.
That's a silly.
Just bad.
All right. Get on to NBA playoffs. I want to finish up with Peter talking about the law and sports. Go ahead, Mike. You were going to ask a question for Mike, for Peter.
Peter, I asked you a question, the legalities of some of the hot topics going on. What's one of the things that's at the forefront right now, besides what we just talked about?
As I alluded to earlier, the big thing that's out there that we may have some clarity on literally within a week or so is the House case that's the $2.8 billion damages settlement that has been agreed to, that also is what's going to allow schools going forward to pay their athletes up to $20 million per year directly for quote-unquote NIL purposes. We're waiting for the judge, who's the same judge that had the O'Bannon case, the same judge who had the Alston case, to approve that settlement. She sent the attorneys for the NCAA and the plaintiffs back to the drawing table on two different occasions, and now that she's got the final word. An interesting aspect of that is that that $2.8 billion, a big chunk of it is going to be paid by schools outside the Power Four, which were not defendants in the case, and were not at the negotiating table for the settlement.
Wow.
They're going to be paying a big chunk of money every year for the next 10 years to cover that $2.8 billion.
And what about, quickly, you mentioned players who are trying to seek a fifth in 6 years to play in college sports, because that's crazy to me, but here we go.
Well, there have been now close to a dozen separate cases filed in federal courts around the country since December, when the first case involved Vanderbilt's quarterback, Diego Pavia, who had gone to a military school, essentially a junior college, in New Mexico for a couple of years. One of those years was a COVID year, and he ultimately transferred to New Mexico State and then to Vanderbilt, and had a kind of a breakout year as a quarterback last year, and all of a sudden had really big time NIL opportunities and probably zero NFL opportunities. And so he wanted to be able to stay in school another year and capitalize on the NIL money.
Interesting.
And a federal judge ruled in his favor, saying that the NCAA's denial of or that their rules with regard to counting junior college eligibility towards Division I eligibility were a violation of the antitrust laws. The NCAA has appealed that case, but has waived that rule for this coming football season only. Subsequently, some baseball players, a couple of basketball players have filed cases with a little bit of variation and nuance, but essentially making the same arguments with regard to, in a couple of instances, starting out at Division II and then transferring to a D1 school and so on. And we've got mixed results in those cases. There have been some, a couple of different Florida federal courts that have allowed the athletes to have issued injunctions to allow the athletes to have another year. There was a case that was handed down in South Carolina day before yesterday, or no, yesterday, involving a College of Charleston basketball player who was seeking a fifth year of eligibility, and the judge denied that and basically said it's not an antitrust violation because the eligibility rules are not a commercial aspect of the NCAA's business, and the antitrust laws are available only for things involving commerce. And so if that line of decisions moves forward, then I think the people who were concerned that every aspect of the NCAA's rules might ultimately be found to be an antitrust violation, those folks may be able to rest a little bit easier.
He can claim that. Go ahead.
Oh, in 5 seconds, a friend of mine from Cal Berkeley, who's a football player named Luke Paquette, he played a total of 6 years. He was at Cal for four, transferred to Boston College for a year, came back for his sixth year as a defensive lineman. Now, he did that because he was hoping to make the NFL. That never happened. So to Peter's point, that's the reason a lot of these guys do it, to try to expand their horizon to see if somebody will pick them up.
Yeah. And in the case of the Vanderbilt quarterback, it's possible if he has another strong year this year that then maybe some NFL teams will give him a chance. But he for certain is by all reports is going to make six figures, maybe even mid six figures in NIL money this year at Vanderbilt.
It's hard to pass up when you're that, especially when you're that age, and you don't, your window of opportunity is only so much. Hey, can we shift over for just a minute to the basketball? Is that a W for win?
Yeah.
Mike's putting up his fingers, making a W. NBA playoffs. Holy smokes, these things are getting exciting, aren't they? It's maybe the first round is exciting. Second round's just as exciting. I know Russell's very upset because his Warriors are not doing well, but.
I mean, Russell, what's going on? Warriors, come out and play. Yay. I'm a Warriors fan. I love the Warriors. But Russell, as I made my point, the Warriors, besides Steph Curry, have nobody else to really solidify that team, to take them to the next level. Kuminga comes off the bench and scores 23 points. They had three other guys in double figures. But Russell, without Steph Curry, we love him. He's a Hall of Famer. But I got to tell you, It's not looking good for our Warriors.
And Jimmy, what I don't understand is, like, when Kerr can see that Jimmy Buckets is gassed, you got to take him out. I don't care who you are. I don't care if Curry mad poorly because he's gassed. You got to rest him. It's just no good. Russell, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your comments about the
Warriors? Well, I was waiting for you guys to hit the stop your diatribe, and then I was obviously Curry is one of the five best players in the game right now, and you subtract that, I mean, that's 25 points a game, almost 30 points a game that you have to make up for, and Podemski's not making up for it. Moody, who was a big factor in their run, has been completely gone. Post was a big part of their makeup, and he's been completely out of the lineup. And look, I mean, everything that Minnesota put up last night from 3-point range went in. I mean, they shot over 50% from threes, and Edwards, we're seeing him develop into one of the new great players of the NBA. And that sometimes that's an inevitable thing. The Warriors have been on top for so long. You can't be on top forever, all the time, and age and time catches up with you. And look, I mean, you don't have to be that old. Look at Jason Tatum. He's probably going to be out maybe even for all season, and that may,
What was the final diagnosis? Did they figure that out?
They still haven't given the MRI results yet.
Yeah. So I don't think they've said anything yet.
He was in so much pain. He was in so much pain. I don't see him hopping right back into the court. And then and Boston's down 3-1.
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah, I know.
They're not gonna win three games in a row against New York.
No.
And so that series is over too. And if anyone told me that Indiana would be going to the Eastern Conference Finals, I want to see that score sheet where somebody had, I want to see that betting column where people had Indiana against New York. Show me that one for the Eastern Conference Finals.
And Russell, you got Jalen Brunson, 39 points, Towns with 23, Annebroy with 20, and Bridges was 23. I mean, you look at that power punch that the Knicks have. They are really, I think, in my opinion, the surprise team. And who knows? They might make a run of the whole thing.
Indiana is the surprise team. Nobody even thought that they won over 50 games this year. Yeah. They have literally snuck their way into it. And to clock Cleveland, who everyone had listed going to the finals.
Yeah.
Peter. We might not even see Oklahoma City make it to the finals. Yeah. You know, looks like Denver might have their number. So
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah.
And then, guys, the NBA draft, Cooper Flagg, number one pick. I mean, I think that's the obvious.
Full on Dallas getting it. 1 point. If you make the NBA play-in game, the best you should get is a third or fourth draft pick, number three, number four.
8% chance, apparently.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're already a pretty good team. When you make the play-in, you're a pretty good team. You don't need the number one overall draft pick. It's like the league is saying, okay, you lost Doncic, now you'll get Cooper Flagg to go right back. They're in the NBA Finals two seasons ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't understand that Luka Doncic for
Anthony Davis.
I don't understand Dallas trading him away, but anyway, that's one of those strange trades.
And two Rutgers players are predicted to be 2 and 3. That kid Dylan Harper to San Antonio, and then the other kid, Arius Ace Bailey. I mean, when's the last time Rutgers has produced two, let alone one top pick, two back-to-back picks? So it's really interesting.
How did they do in the tournament?
I don't remember.
No remember. Yeah, I mean that is pretty. What positions do those guys play?
Harper's a point guard, I think.
Yeah,
it's not good. I'm not sure about Bailey.
He's a small forward.
Interesting. I mean, I could see maybe if you had like some, 7'5" center or something, that you go, okay, well, yeah, of course you're going to try for him, but just a power forward or small forward or point guard. There's a lot of those out there. Okay, we're going to cut to a break pretty soon here, Mike. Really quickly, what do you want to say?
Baseball. Aaron Judge is insane. He's hitting .400. He's leading the league in home runs. I mean, the Yankees got the best record in baseball. The Dodgers do. But what he's doing is, if you look at the stats, it's remarkable what this guy is doing. Will he be the guy that actually finally hits .400? I don't know. It's interesting.
Triple crown, or getting the triple crown. Okay, you ready for our last commercial break here? What is the world's sunniest city? Okay, world's sunniest city. I will give you a hint. It actually is in the United States. Apparently, 91% of possible daylight hours. That's our okay, but you got to give me which city it is. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back with some closing comments.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Michael McDowell, Russell Jackman, and our special guest, Peter Goplerud. Third trivia question, what is the world's sunniest city? And it's in the United States. Go ahead. I heard
Peter?
Someone there.
Peter, go ahead.
Phoenix?
No, but it is in Arizona.
Tucson.
No. What? Russell?
Really?
I would say Sedona.
No, Yuma. Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma, Arizona.
But you know what? Okay. Guessing Phoenix is pretty good, though. I tell you, you know, in all the world, you happen to choose the right state. That's not bad. All right. You guys ready for our thoughts for the day here? Here we go. Why is it that people say they slept like a baby when babies wake up like every 2 hours?
Mine did. My twins did.
Did they?
Yes, they were up like it was like every one would go to sleep and the other one would be up and they were up like 22 hours a day for about 2 years.
There you go. That's why you wonder why they say slept like a baby. And
no.
If Wile E. Coyote had enough money to buy all that Acme crap that he did, why didn't he just buy dinner? Like keep chasing that Roadrunner, you know? I mean, come on. I have to rewrite the cartoon. Peter Goplerud. Thank you very much, sports law professor from Florida A&M. Excellent discussions here, but definitely sports related and economics related. I like that.
My pleasure.
And authentic.
Wait, what's that, Mike?
And very authentic. Very authentic. Very organic flowing, okay?
Very organic. All right, audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective like we did today and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week